If you would like to ask a question, please raise your hand in the reactions tab. Just go to reactions and click the raise hands so I can call on you. When we get a blood test and we get the results of our cholesterol, and we get an overall cholesterol, we get an HDL, we get an LDL, how do you want us to interpret it? I've somehow thought that if it's below 150, you're very protected from heart disease, but some people I know who are plant-based are over 200. What are we hoping for? What should we be concerned about? How do you want us when we get the blood test that gives these numbers to think about it? And is there anything else on a common blood test that you want us to pay attention to?
Yeah, I'll jump in and give a quick answer. You know, a lot of this goes back to probably about the 1970s, a famous study, the Framingham study. And there's many others. There's no doubt when you take a large population, the higher your total and LDL cholesterol, the greater your long-term risk of atherosclerosis. That's a proven concept. But Dr. Batiste and I don't work with large populations. He does it as an administrator. But when we're treating one patient at a time. And we all know there's people that smoke and don't get cancer. People with high cholesterol don't have cardiac events. You try and be as personalized as possible with people. We also know, to answer your question, that cholesterol and LDL cholesterol is a risk factor for coronary disease, along with blood sugar, along with blood pressure, along with smoking, along with family history, and along with actually 10 plus other items like lipoprotein A and inflammation markers and now TMAO markers, if you want to do that at all. So I try and get, and what the Framingham study showed was actually one single risk factor may double your risk of heart disease. But if you stack them together, if you happen to be a diabetic who smokes with a high cholesterol and high blood pressure, boom. And I try and do that in my head or do it with risk calculators. That cholesterol combined with obesity, sleep apnea, and any other things, try and put it all together and impress upon the person. As I said, if there's no emergency, I'll pull out forks over knives and, other training guides to try and get people, give them a month or two and see what they can do with lifestyle. And they may fall and crash and burn, and then we move on. But I mean, there are those wonderful examples. They're not uniform. And there are all those frustrated vegans you mentioned. They're eating a lot of fiber and their cholesterol is high because genetics are a very real factor in, cholesterol production, without a doubt.
Thank you.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think in general, when you're looking at your cholesterol values, just being very transparent with the question. I mean, obviously, when your levels are over 200, it should mark as a level of concern for your total cholesterol, but not sure exactly what that means in total. We need to know what the breakdown is. And so you want to get a sense, are you a typical kind of metabolic syndrome where your HDL or good cholesterol theoretically is low, your bad cholesterol is high, your triglycerides are high, which may be a reflection of the types of foods that you're eating, whether they're vegan or not, but they're refined and processed and you're eating vegan standard American diet. And so really making that effort to transition. But really getting a sense of what the and then in the context of the history, like what Dr. Khan said, becomes so important. Have you suffered a series of silent heart attacks or cell heart attacks or other issues that are there that really shift in terms of our level of aggression that we may need to undertake? But I think the first recommendation out of every non-lifestyle guideline still pertains to lifestyle, right? Even though we skip over it. And so to Dr. Khan's point, we'd give you an opportunity. Here's the balance. Here's the difference. Here's a challenge that as a clinician that we may have. I don't know if you stop taking the medication. I've had patients who've had phenomenal transformations. And they don't come back and see me, and it's been a year or two, and they somehow, oh, I slipped, doc. And now their numbers are through the roof high, and they're saying that they're having symptoms. Whereas I may have means of knowing whether or not you're adherent to medications based upon your refills. So there's multiple factors that have to come in place, and really have to tailor it down to an individual on a personal level at all times.
Thank you. Joe, would you like to ask a question, or where are you from?
Yes, I would. Huntington, Long Island, New York. Great panel, gentlemen. Thank you for your beautiful knowledge. I have two questions, but I first have to say I miss Dr. Khan live and in person because he has a lot of humor that he puts into his presentation that you really can't get on Zoom. But anyway.
Thank you.
Yes, I missed that. my first question is, a year ago, I got a diagnosis of 15-centimeter mass in my left kidney. I've been probably for close to 30 years a really good plant-based whole foods eater. In fact, I go a little bit further. I even grow my own food. In the last several years, I've been really, really concentrating on eating more of my own food than store-bought. So I'm doing outstanding. I actually have no impediments or pain or anything. So I'm doing a variety of treatments that seem to be working. But one of the things I've added was every other day, two eggs from my neighbor friend who raises organic chickens, and I trust him. And I was just wondering what you thought about what are potential problems that you've seen with someone who perhaps every other day eating clean chicken eggs in their diet. And the second question is, in the last year or so, have you seen an increase in myocarditis in patients?
Well, I'll do eggs, and I'll let Dr. Batiste talk about maybe myocarditis, since he's more in the hospital world where you're going to see it. I mean, my first reaction is, how does the chicken feel about these two eggs a week? Because, you know, part of the motivation to be whole food plant-based, you know, can extend from health to the environment to animal cruelty, animal rights. Now, this sounds like it's probably a nice, you know, rural farm, and you don't kill a chicken to get its eggs. So it's not as, you know, dramatic a conversation as, you know, eating chicken and eating beef and eating turkey and slaughterhouses all over the place. But anyways, I would like to get the consent of the chicken first. Number two, you know, There in the last couple of weeks, there was a headline study randomizing people, I think it was 10 eggs a week or less than two a week, on blood cholesterol levels. It was funded by the egg industry, and it didn't show a dramatic change in blood levels with the high number of eggs. Actually, many researchers over many years have said that there's a relatively, you know, we always say that egg yolk is packed with cholesterol, but it's actually not that much compared to the large amount of saturated fat that most Americans are eating with, you know, the protein. I'll have everything with protein. All my patients, I have my, you know, I have my nice salad, and I make sure I have protein in. Of course, they're talking about a chicken breast or a salmon fillet or, you know, beef strips. You know, saturated fat has always been the target of nutritional counseling and guidelines for reducing the lower cholesterol. And it hasn't actually been dietary cholesterol that's been the focus. There's still, the last guidelines say, reduce your dietary cholesterol to as low as possible, but they didn't assign a number. They used to assign a number in milligrams. So I don't think your health will suffer from two eggs a week. I don't know that your health will benefit. There is a chemical called choline in eggs. You can get it in soybeans. But some people speak about eggs for that reason. Trying to think of anything else that's relatively unique. The flip side is that there is a chemical called TMAO. I mentioned it briefly. Probably two eggs a week are not going to raise your TMAO too much. But in the last 3 weeks from the Cleveland Clinic, there was a very large paper that you should read about elevated blood TMAO levels, which is a Quest lab. You can have your TMAO level done tomorrow. And elevated TMAO levels and progressive kidney scarring and kidney disease. And it was 10,000 plus patients. So if you're dealing with, you know, management of a kidney problem, even if it's a tumor, you know, and you might have surgery, or maybe you already did have part of your kidney removed, I would want to be sure my blood TMAO level wasn't elevated. Whether two eggs will do it or not, you know, can be answered by a simple blood test. So maybe follow up with that.
That's great. I don't have much to add with that. Since I don't have much about the myocarditis, I do want to just chime in with one thing. I think I wish I came up with this characterization, but I didn't. But, you know, food oftentimes is characterized. Food is culture, but food is also characterized as a red light, green light, and yellow light, like we're driving. And if you think of it in that context and you apply it to research, what I tend to ascribe to research that's really irrefutable for the most part are going to be green light foods. Research that is overwhelmingly negative is red light foods. And for yellow, where there's this back and forth, this, you know, we're seeing a multitude of studies telling us, it's probably not beneficial. A few saying, I don't know if it's harmful. And there's questions that arise. I think at that point, you have to ask yourself, what am I ingesting this for? For my health? Is this adding to my health? Or is it adding just for my culture? Or is it, and if you're adding, you're looking to kind of be the healthiest version of yourself possible. I believe you have to pause and ask the question of, is there a potential harm that can arise, the relationship with diabetes or cardiovascular disease or prostate cancer in some patients that have been shown in some studies, what's the size of these studies and variables that are there. When it comes to myocarditis, I'll be honest, as opposed to training, I see a lot of things I never saw increasing over the past 5 years before the pandemic, right? I've seen increase in takotsubo. I've seen increase in myocarditis more comparison to where I've seen before. Now, that relative increase, it's still small numbers. They're few and far between. But when you ask the question of, have I seen more? I would say anecdotally, I have seen more in my practice than what I saw in the first half of my practice compared to the second half of my practice of 18 years. I've seen more increasing that's here. The cause, I can't be certain of the cause, but we've seen it there as far as increasing. Yes.